If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and this is a very special episode of the show. Today is June 11th, and just minutes ago, the Xbox and Bethesda double showcase wrapped up, and we've got two episodes of content coming at you today. We've got a chunk of it here on Xbox Game Passengers, where myself and a couple of the Geekscape Games crew, Shane and Logan from Memory Card, are going to be talking about the show as a whole, what they thought of it, overall thoughts, what the best moments were. And then over on the Dynamic Resolution podcast, apologies, Shane, it was many years of Geekscape Games, and it took me, I'm still getting used to it, and you're making it very awkward as I can see you laughing at me while you're muted, so thank you for that. Over on Dynamic Resolution afterwards, we're going to be breaking down each game of the show. Over a couple weeks ago at the PlayStation Showcase, they did a kind of spicy or mild overview of each game on the show. So we're going to discuss each game and what we thought of it overall. But there's a lot to talk about. It was an hour and a half long and a lot of Starfield, which was really neat to see so much of that game so far ahead of its launch. How are you two doing today, first of all? How's your morning been?
It's about world premiere. You play it first on Game Pass. That's how my morning's been. It's a world premiere morning.
How about yourself, Logan?
I'm good. I woke up, ate some pizza, watched the showcase. I'm Gucci.
How could a morning be better?
Pizza on a bagel. You can have pizza anytime.
I mean, I think as an adult, you can have pizza anytime afterwards. That only works when you're a child.
I don't know. It works for me as a 28-year-old.
It's a breakfast commercial, Mom.
It's breakfast food. You make it in the microwave on a piece of cardboard. Totally nutritious. Much like the Xbox Game Passengers podcast. Nutritious. Cooked on cardboard.
It was an interesting time. You two did a spicy, mild, big breakdown of the PlayStation Showcase a couple of weeks ago. I really liked listening to, except for when you can remember the name of Infamous. Aside from that,
you know, sometimes you just forget. You know?
I mean, like, did they even make a good Infamous game?
I think all of them were critically acclaimed. Yeah, pretty sure.
The only thing I remember from Sucker Punch is the movie.
It was underrated film. Before we jump into like big moments or anything like that, what were your overall thoughts as folks who dug deep into the PlayStation one? How would you compare this showcase to that one? What are your thoughts overall?
Logan, why don't you take it? Because you're a PS fanboy, like through and through. I don't think you've ever owned an Xbox console. So what was it like consuming an Xbox showcase for analysis?
Well, it's like I usually watch the Xbox showcases too, because I mean, ultimately, I'm just interested in games as a whole. And I mean, a lot of these games are also coming out on PlayStation. So it's like there's always some interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. I think this showcase was better than PlayStation's showcase. PlayStation showcase, it wasn't bad, but I think everyone just had higher expectations than what were delivered, given it was the first actual PlayStation showcase in like a year and a half or something like that. And they showed like two first party games and a bunch of CGI trailers. So I think this was a better showcase. Personally, I'm pretty. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. I don't have an Xbox. I don't have Game Pass, so I'm not going to be like having the access to these games that Xbox fans are. But I still think a lot of these games look cool.
Hold on one second. I need to move my microphone. I'm terribly sorry, Derek. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It definitely, I mean, after Todd Howard's breakdown on Kind of Funny Games, where he's like, there's no world where Phil Spencer.
Phil Howard.
The amalgamation of the two.
I use polymerization to create Phil Howard.
Phil Spencer, and he's like, there's no world where Starfield becomes an 11 out of 10 and people sell their PlayStations. I was like, damn, they got to come up with something. And I felt like they came up with something. I'm just looking at the list right now. There was a couple of games on there. I'm like, why is this even on here? But I was intrigued. I was completely shocked that the first game they came out of the gate with was Fable. That wasn't even on my radar, and that trailer didn't even give me Fable vibes.
Does that though, like, sorry to interrupt you, but I feel like it was kind of what you said, Logan, in that the PlayStation 1 was like a bunch of CG trailers. Like, you weren't expecting Fable, but really, like, Fable was announced, what, a couple of years ago on their showcase, and then we never heard from it since. And then this felt like a largely CGI trailer without a release date or anything like that. Like, this really didn't, like, we knew Fable was happening. We still know Fable is happening. We don't know that much more except, like, oh, it's got a funny British narrator again. Like, what did a lot, you know? And then it was the same with South of Midnight. Like, that was a really cool, that was a first look at something, but again, a CG trailer without a release date. Star Wars Outlaws, again, a CG trailer without a release date. Like,
see, with a lot of those, I think the difference, at least in my opinion, is that the CG trailer for Fable is just 1,000 times better than the CG trailer for Fair Games. Because with the CG trailer of Fable, I actually have an idea of what the game is.
Sure.
And with Fair Games, it was like, hey, check out this fucking Gen Z robs a bank. I think is kind of the through line with a lot of these CG trailers. It's like, they're just longer, more extended looks at what these games are supposed to be. Whereas the PlayStation Showcase, a lot of them were like, hey, here's a game called Concord.
Oh, yeah. That's there it. There you go.
Yep.
Didn't they?
Hey Shane, yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. I just posted in Discord. U.S. GameStop apparently has the collector's edition
with the watch
sealed up. That's right. That'd be right. The one.
I'm going on mute for a second.
It's $300 U.S. Yeah. It comes with a smartwatch. What were you expecting?
Smartwatch. It just.
It is. They literally said it connects to your phone and gets notifications inside.
$290. That's for the Xbox. I'm gonna buy an Xbox game for a fucking watch. Where's the PC one?
But it's isn't it like it comes with a code? Isn't it Play Anywhere?
All right.
I don't know how that works.
Well, I doubt it's gonna sell out by the time we finish recording the show.
I don't know, man. That watch looked pretty
you
sleek.
Say that.
I know that the second it comes up for Canada, I'm like, fuck you guys. I'm gonna take a minute.
I'm sorry. I just love this. Collector's edition includes details coming soon. GameStop popping off. All right. There's got to be a PC version. I'm not going to buy a fucking Xbox game for a watch. The watch is really cool. The watch is pretty cool. So I will. I'm going to put myself on mute and shop for a moment. I do apologize, but this is all right.
Yeah. Sorry,
damn,
about that.
Y'all call
sorry
me
about
the
that, everyone.
Boy, really, they're buying a fucking $300.
Listen,
watch.
I'm not an Xbox fanboy. I am an accessories fanboy. Okay, this is a sick accessory.
Logan, what was the first game that you saw that, aside from, like, you said Fable looked pretty cool, but what were there any pieces that, like, really you caught notice of?
So yeah, like for this showcase and the like Summer Games Fest and all the, like, indie showcase and stuff, I've had, like, a list of things that were shown, and I've kind of, like, kept track of, like, everything that I think looks really cool. So the things I have, like, marked that I thought looked good, Star Wars Outlaws is the first one. Straight up, at this point, I'm so tired of Star Wars in like movie and television format. There is so much. I am so tired. But Star Wars video games really seem to be like popping off. Like Jedi Fallen Order was great. I'm starting Jedi Survivor soon. I've just been getting other things out of the way. But this game looks really cool. Payday 3. That's cool. I love Payday 2.
Can I ask you, as someone who's never played Payday, and who every time I've seen anything from Payday, like, it looks boring as shit. Like, what do you like about Payday?
It's just a really fun premise. Like, it's been years since I played it. I played it when it first came out on, like, PC, and I played it on my laptop. It's funny, it was free on PlayStation, like, a year or two ago, something like that. And it's so funny, I jumped in because I was like, oh, hell yeah, I remember loving Payday 2. And I jump in on PlayStation, and it's only, like, the hardcores who've been playing this whole time playing it. And me as a level one, every time I join a lobby, I get kicked out. So it's, like, it's pretty not fun to play it now on PlayStation. But I just remember when it first came out, like, it was just a different kind of game. It's, like, instead of being, like, a normal first-person shooter like Counter-Strike or something, it's like, it's a first-person shooter, but you're the bad guy, and, like, you have an objective, and it's, like, just a really cool premise. I just think it's fun, like, defending this bank as you drill through the vault, and, like, police are coming and swarming you, and I liked it. It was cool.
There must be something to it. Like, if we're getting a third one now, and if two has had the longevity that it's had, it just, I don't know, it's something. And I guess it's true of a lot of multiplayer games, but it just never, nothing ever, even watching this trailer, nothing ever jumped out at me and made me interested.
There was, for Payday 2 explicitly, Starbreeze had to, like, buy the rights back. So there was a period of time where the development was just dead, and they were trying to scrounge, like, they were using...
Oh, I remember there was
weird. They were using personal money to get the IP back. I do want to just interject real quick. I have a grievance for GameStop right now. To pre-order this game, you have to be a pro member. So you have to have bought the $20 a year pro membership to pre-order this. I already
did
pro. But they're, I think, I remember I traded it when I was very impoverished and I wanted to pre-order my Switch. Like, I traded in a bunch of random shit. And the woman was like, okay, you are going to buy GameStop Pro because I did all this. I'm like, yep, fair enough, fair enough. But I can't just put the, like, $5 down or, like, the $50 down. Like, they want me to pay the full thing up front.
I think that's always been the case in Canada for pre-orders, is that if you did it online, it's, like, full payment. And if you did it in store,
I've never... I've never pre-ordered a game from GameStop online, so and they're charging me tax, so I don't want this watch that bad. I don't want a watch that bad. I'm sorry.
What do you think the second hand's gonna be on buying just the watch?
Well, I'm not.
Oh, I'm sure you'll be able to get a good portion of that purchase
to
back.
Sell the watch. Why would would I, like, I want the watch?
It sounds like you want the watch. Yeah.
No. I'm saying, like, what?
Oh, like, will you be able to shades it?
Yeah, like, how much of an upcharge do you think there's going to be on the secondhand market to buy just the watch?
Let's check eBay real quick to see if anyone's selling their watch. that has to be a thing at this point.
Oh yeah, it's been like 40 minutes. Of course.
God, I
before most people know the price even.
Yeah.
Let's see. Just typed in Starfield.
There are probably people who made listings for that watch before they even bought a pre-order.
Before it was even announced 30 minutes ago?
I'm sorry. New listing, Starfield Viewmaster Xbox Showcase Exclusive Bethesda. This is a fucking Viewmaster for...
What?
Yeah.
Must have been a press thing.
$200.
Canadian or
American? Why would it be on Canadian?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. It's a bit rich for me.
Someone's selling... the Xbox controller for $300
that you can actively just go buy right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I respect.
I mean,
hustle.
Huh? I appreciate the hustle. I love eBay scams where it's like you're buying a picture of a PlayStation. I don't know. Like why would I buy an Xbox Series X pre-order just to get a watch?
Well, is there going to be a PC?
I mean, I doubt it.
Also, it's a digital code in the box. It's not a physical game. So if it's a Play Anywhere thing, then it's the PC version. But also,
it explicitly says Xbox Series X.
Won't you be able to play this shit for free anyway? Just be patient. Wait 5 days.
I can't
play
the watch for free? How do, can I Game Pass a watch?
Well, yeah, I'm saying, like, if this isn't Play Anywhere and you buy the Xbox version, okay, still get the game. It's free.
Give me the code and you can keep the watch.
I'll sell you the...
And I'll get that 5-day early access. I'll give you 50 bucks for it.
50 US or Canadian?
I get to 50 Canadian. I mean 50. No, that's the worthless
one.
That's the bad
one. $43.
Yo, US.
All right, I need to think about it. I'll do
50 US dollars for that.
About it, because the watch is really cool. But I mean,
by the end of this podcast, I'll probably have ordered it myself. You know, clock's ticking.
I don't know where my wallet is. Oh, it's right here. Shit, like, can I do it on Amazon? I can just put it on my Amazon Prime card?
I mean, I'm sure GameStop's just the first retailer to put it up. Like, I'm sure it'll be on Amazon in half an hour.
Right.
Without a pro requirement.
Then I can get Amazon points for it.
Get that 5%
back.
Yeah,
dog.
Not bad.
There's the Starfield... There's a bunch of Starfield Magic cards on here. So,
Starfield Magic cards?
Yeah.
Like Magic the Gathering?
Starfield Relics really and Starfield Mystics.
Oh, like Magic cards that have Starfield in the name, not Starfield
brand.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. My question was very clear and you confirmed. You confirmed what I asked and you were not correct.
I don't know if you had an order of operations plan for this.
No, just talking. Yeah, this is
but
chat.
There was I laughed. I think it was the Cyberpunk expansion where there was a disclaimer at the mm-hmm. bottom, like rendered on PC but set to the
with Xbox Series X settings or something. Yeah,
that PC's running at like 20% capacity right there.
That did look great though. I don't know, I feel like when Cyberpunk came out, I played it in like a weekend, so when it was still super broken and not very good looking because I was playing on a Series X, but you know, you were just playing the Xbox One X version because there was no Series X version at that time. And every like video I've seen since the Series X update, or obviously from this DLC, I don't know, every time I'm like, oh, I should go back and play this again. Like, because I did really enjoy my time with it, and that was when it was like a broken, buggy mess. And to play it now in a state that like it looks and feels a lot better. But it just like, I don't know, if the paths, like the origins or whatever that you could choose, if they actually like had a big differentiation between them, I feel like that would, you know, obviously add a ton of replayability. But as far as I know, it's like there's a few different conversations and a few missions, but and then the like prologue, but after the prologue it's like pretty much the same regardless of who you choose, so that makes me like less interested when there's so many new games that have come out that I haven't played. I don't know, but this I'm all for this. I will jump into immediately.
I
what was with Keanu Reeves' voice?
Yeah, it sounded fucking weird, like bit crushed.
It sounded AI generated.
yeah that, and he looked like he was floating on the floor, like his feet weren't rendered properly. Yeah,
maybe it was after like a long night of shooting a movie or
what
something.
What movie?
I was tired. I don't know. Yeah. He's always shooting movies. John Wick 5.
Are they making a John Wick 5?
And a spin-off
TV
show.
John Wick 1.
Oh, yeah. You sure? That's very good.
On the list.
It's pretty good.
I did see Knock Knock.
Yeah.
Which.
That one's not so good.
No, Knock Knock is a great date night movie. Yeah, it's a great
scene.
Date night movie. But that was a mistake. Like, hey, babe, you want to watch this Knock Knock movie? Keanu Reeves is in it. I heard it's a good horror thriller. And then afterwards, we're going to bed. I'm like, I don't stay on your side of the bed. I did a couple of things. This is the Star Wars game. That's the first Ubisoft Star Wars game, right?
I believe it is. Yeah. I think we knew that the license had expanded, so we knew that there's something in the works, but this is the first that they've shown it off. Immediately, of course, I was like, oh yeah, it looks cool, but it's just a CG trailer, so I don't know. Yeah. I just, like I said, I have a really hard time getting excited by those at this point, but Ubisoft is having their event on Monday, and apparently the first gameplay reveal will be happening in just a few days. So in that case, where it's like, here's your first taste, and look for more on Monday, that's cool. I'm cool with that. And
yeah.
I'm intrigued enough. Like, I mean, I would watch the Ubisoft one anyway, but...
I might be naive here, but I feel a little more inclined to trust that this Ubisoft Star Wars game is going to be decent, because like, if it's like a first person shooter type thing, like Far Cry games are pretty solid. If they just kind of took that formula, right, it'd probably be pretty good. If it's a third person game, they've pretty well fine tuned that too with like Assassin's Creed. So it's like, I'm confident that like, no matter what the gameplay is like, it's probably going to feel pretty good.
Well, and I like, and it's not from, this is from Massive Entertainment, so they made The Division.
Oh, let's go.
Like, in that case, so it'll be sick. Like, I think it's not so much like, oh, it's a CG trailer, so how's it actually going to be? It's just like, I don't know, like, it's not representative of the actual, like, product.
Yeah, and I mean, like, as like, game consumers, we've been lied to thousands of times, so it's warranted to be skeptical.
And, yeah, well, and it's not even that. It's just I mean, feel like
Todd Howard lied to me about that fucking canvas bag. So,
and now you're like, "Where's my fucking watch, Todd?" So like, you're just showing him you can say whatever he wants.
Like, let's be real. How much is a good smartwatch?
Probably that price. So you're probably paying that, but for a not good smartwatch. But it's got
Starfield branding. Good smartwatch, and Microsoft's just like, we don't sell games anyway, so fuck it.
They're subsidizing
that watch purchase could save Xbox.
Okay, so here's something weird that I noticed about the Star Wars trailer, and this is like, I don't know, like this is like the weird shit that I noticed. Did you notice that everybody's hairstyle was very 70s?
That's interesting.
Which is something that like always like tripped me out about like modern Star Wars set in like that time frame is that everybody has like 2010s or 2020s haircuts. And this chick had a very like Farrah Fawcett.
That's haircut. A good point.
And that's like that like stood out to me in like a really weird way.
But it makes it feel more authentic.
Yeah, because all those original trilogies, like people had like 70 mustaches and like, you know, 70s hairstyles. Everything was like, I don't know, this just that stood out to me. And that was something that I noticed, which I don't know. It's a weird thing to notice, but that's a good attention to detail since it's in that era.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever thought about that, but that does really make a difference. Like that, I feel like that kind of explains why the like sequel trilogy like doesn't quite feel right.
Yeah, because like everybody's got like a 2000s haircut.
Mm. Yeah, it just like the people look different. Yeah.
Huh.
If it's just The Division, but with a Star Wars skin, fucking in. Like,
yeah.
Like, that sounds amazing.
Tom Clancy's, like, Wildlands or Badlands. Was that Massive?
Don't know. No. Like, Ghost Recon Wildlands or whatever? No, that was not Massive. Massive also did the Avatar game that's supposed to come out this year. On the Wikipedia page, I think, is a little bit out of date because it says Avatar will be released on Stadia.
Yo, shouts out. Ubisoft Milan made Wildlands. So that was a first party. Huh.
Damn, she saved China, then went on to found a game studio?
All right, show's over. That was it.
33 Immortals looked
dumb.
Dope.
Looks dumb.
So why did it look
stupid.
Dumb? Also,
I wrote down
so interesting.
I wrote down it looks like Diet Hades.
Yeah,
I'm down for Diet Hades. I'm down for anything that's like Hades, but it's like a 33 player co-op thing. Like, that sounds very different.
It does sound very different. I'll give it that. Like, it looks like a unique experience.
And like, Spiritfarer was excellent. So like, I'm definitely intrigued of whatever comes from them.
I thought it was bizarre that they kicked off with Fable. That Sound of Midnight, which like South of Midnight.
South of Midnight.
The blocky, like Enter the Spider-Verse, like choppy animation. Like that. I mean, I thought fair enough, but.
But also, is the game going to actually do that? You don't know, because this was just a CG trailer with no release date.
But then they go into Star Wars, and then they go into this Diet Hades game, and then they go into Payday. Like, they shoehorn that in the weirdest spot.
I don't know if it's in the weirdest spot, though, because it was like a couple of first-party premieres, and then they started with third-party stuff, and Spiritfarer was a big hit for Game Pass. And I remember they showed off Spiritfarer a lot before it came out, so... They either it did well enough, or they have a good enough relationship with this company that it was important to them.
And why 33?
Or maybe it was a cool, down trailer after like three big announcements.
And why 33?
Well.
Why are they using the evil Masonic number?
Elderverse.
Exactly.
Thunder Lotus is actually an ambigram for Bohemian Grove.
Whoa. Something about the Payday trailer was funny, because like, it's showing all these, like, the camera floating around, like, different, like, set pieces and, like, just, like, the NPCs walking around the bank. And then, like, the music ramps up and it starts to hit where you're like, all right, this is where the action starts. And the first, like, quote-unquote action from the trailer is one of the robbers pointing a gun at a security guard and going, get down. And it was the most, like, bland, like... Like, they didn't, they should have started with, like, an explosion or, like, something where it's just, like, get down. I was like, damn, that was a fucking letdown.
One of the other letdowns, I thought, like, the last announcement before they moved on to the Starfield piece was, like, I don't know, if Phil was kind of hyping it up, and it was, like, we've heard you, and we're listening to you, and blah, 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 and they're, like, and then this trailer starts. I'm like, fuck, what is it? Like, is it a handheld? Is it like some sort of Xbox Game Pass streaming only box, like has been rumored forever? No, it's an Xbox Series S, but now in black, and now with a 1 terabyte SSD, and $50 less than a PS5 digital version will cost you.
I will say, I'm glad that they didn't give it a stupid fucking tertiary name. It's like Xbox Series S Project 3 or something. Like, because I expected it to have some drawn-out name to differentiate it.
Just Carbon Black. I don't know. I think that the Series S desperately needed to have a larger SSD from the get-go. You know, when Call of Duty and Warzone alone, like, eclipses 100 gigabytes, like, and you only have a 500 gigabyte SSD in there, like, it's not enough. And for the time period where I had a Series S, it was full instantly. Like, you got 3 or 4 games on there and that's it. And so I the only thing I'd like to release this new version, sure, that's great, and giving it more storage was desperately needed, but I wish that they discontinued the smaller version and just brought this one in at that price. Like, why is this something you're like releasing now 2.5 years down the line? So SSDs are probably cheaper, the ones that they're using. Like, you could have done that and made it a more attractive piece, instead of now it's only a $50 gap between this and a PS5, which has a lot of games, has more storage, has more power. It seems like a bad buy by any sense of the word.
Don't they have like prohibitively expensive,
external storage? There's now a second manufacturer. I think Western Digital does them as well, where I think it was just Seagate before, but the prices have also come down. I think in Canada, they now, for like a 500 gigabyte expansion, it's like $80 or something like that.
Oh, wait, how much?
$80? Yeah. So they've come down. They're still expensive, and it's definitely not as nice as the PlayStation, where you can just put in like an NVMe drive. But I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. But yeah, this was that was a weird way to end it, I thought. Not that that's how it ended, because then it was like, here's 45 minutes of this fucking amazing looking game.
But
it was a weird bookend to the Xbox.
Yeah, like, to be explicitly fair, like, the Xbox portion of the show ended with here's a console refresh, and he Phil Spencer. He said, like, we listen to gamers and we're increasing supply. I didn't think, like, the Series S was supply constrained.
I think it was increased supply of the Xbox as a whole, which I don't know. I don't think is a response to demand. I think it's that the huge shortages that existed for 2+ years are now over. But yeah, even like up until probably like 5 or 6 months ago, like, I had never seen a PlayStation or an Xbox Series really? S or X on a shelf, like, ever.
I would see them at, like, my local Walmarts pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. Like, for a long time, I never saw a PS5. Now, I'll usually see, like, one or two PS5s most of the time, mm-hmm. but it's clear, like, they're cycling that stock a lot. Like, mm-hmm. they're being sold. But, like, pretty consistently for a while, Xboxes were still just available.
Maybe because you guys got them all.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. There were some, like some of the world premieres and some of the world premieres from the Xbox studios. I thought, like, a lot of these games look really interesting, which for the first, like, half of the show, I was like, maybe I just don't like video games anymore. Because, like, enough, like,
man, I, like, feel that.
Yeah, it was just like, yeah, you know, like, this stuff is cool, but I'm not getting excited by any of it, and I just want to play old shit and GameCube games and, like, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, some of this stuff, like, well, and then it was, like, you know, Hellblade 2 popped up, and I'm like, man, for, like, the first game was, like, 5 hours long, and I feel like they've been, they've shown, like, more than 10 hours of footage of this game. And is the combat really bad? Because I don't think we've ever seen any combat from this sequel, and it was okay in the first one, but if you're going to, like, expand the game, and if it's going to be a bigger, you know, a bigger set piece for the game as a whole, it definitely needed some rework. But towards the end, we got some stuff like Dungeons of Hinterberg looked really cool. Also, is cell shading, is, like, 2024 is, like, the year cell shading returned, or have I just not been paying attention? I feel like half of the games shown here had cell shading.
I mean, like, I feel like Persona games
the Persona games, I'm watching those and I'm like, these look awesome, and I would love to play them, but I know the Persona games are supposed to be super long, so I'm like, I'm not even going to, like, try.
I love how
there's no way they
had Persona game after Persona game, and then something new, and there's been the rumors of Persona 6 coming for so long, and this trailer plays, and it's Metaphor.
Yeah.
I wrote down Metaphor, not Persona.
but it looks like Persona.
Yeah, I love how like, it's showing footage and stuff, and it flashes, like, from the creators of Persona 3, Persona 4, Persona 5, and I'm like, oh, really? This is from the creators of Persona? I couldn't tell by the menus.
I know we're jumping around here. I'm just looking at the list. But, you know, besides all the Persona stuff, like, how many versions of Persona 3 exist? Do we need another, like, Persona 3? I wish Josh was here to, like,
This looked like a remake or something, though. Like, Persona 3 is pretty old, and this looked, like, pretty flashy and like sharp looking.
Persona 3 is a PS2 game. Holy shit.
Jesus. Yeah.
So this is, like, that's, like, a remake looking thing. Like, okay. It looked gorgeous.
Like, they all look the same. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but they all look the same, but they all look gorgeous. Like, and if there was a short one, and if there's one that is less than 20 hours long, Josh Jackson, let me know, because I'm interested. But, you know, I know they're supposed to be, like, 100+ hours. And
yeah, I hear all the time that, like, yeah, Persona 4 and Persona 5 are, like, incredible games, but, like, I just can't.
Likewise. I did
Cities Skylines 2, though. That looked gorgeous. I can't wait to, you know, build my town until you could essentially call it a city and then cry at how hard the highways are.
Like, I did really? That
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, we did it for Michaela and I played it for Game Passengers, and I loved it, and it was so much fun. And then I don't know, it got to the point where the city's too big, you know, and so you need to restructure like your waste disposal and stuff. And I just couldn't figure it out. And it was so frustrating. And I was like, why does the town have to grow? Like, why can't we just stay where we are? And, you know, I just wanted at least like a peaceful experience. And then it turned
you,
into hell.
You just described American politics. Yeah. Why does the town need to get bigger? Huh? Why? The highways are terrible. Why are the potholes on I-80? Do you know how much my taxes are?
Wait. But before we potentially move on from this game, I hate that it's called Cities Skylines.
Why?
The double S's, like, it just feels wrong. If it was like City Skylines,
but there's more than one city and more than one skyline.
If it was Cities Skyline, that would feel fine.
But then I would feel like, if there was more than one skyline, I might be interested. But it sounds like it's a small shoebox if there's only going to be one.
Don't all cities share the same skyline? We're on the same planet.
No.
I don't. I just something cities? About that title.
There's a colon in there too, not in the logo, but in the actual cities. Title. There's a colon.
Skyline.
Does that help?
So wait, is it cities colon yeah. skylines?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't except know if that makes.
But is there any other cities games?
Yeah, there's Cities Skylines.
No, but the first one.
And Cities Skylines.
Yeah, but
VR?
Is there any other Cities game?
Like
they're just keeping it open.
Railway.
You know?
Yeah,
they're just keeping it open.
Yeah,
Cities Underground.
Huh. That game came out in 2015. Damn. Yeah.
Wow, it's that old. This one, it looked gorgeous though.
Yeah, the game looks great. It looks like a really fun thing to just like.
What's
vibe
it like playing on a controller?
I just.
It was surprisingly like. Pretty intuitive for sure, which is something I definitely worried about, because like playing an RTS style like or like a city builder or anything on a controller like usually sucks, but the game was simple enough that it was like easy to learn. Even like Michaela played it for probably 30 or 40 hours and had no complaints about the controls as far as I remember. I think that at times the only thing that was weird, which I don't know if it would be any different with a mouse, but like the way that the roads would snap at times would like not be exactly where you wanted it to be. But I don't know if that was like because of the way things were restructured for a controller or if that was just like the engine at the time. But I remember that being kind of annoying.
I saw the trailer for Avowed and I was praying it was going to be a new Dark Messiah game. Like that looked like Dark Messiah, which is like, you should play Dark Messiah on your Steam Deck. That game,
I don't even know.
Dark Messiah. It's a Might and Magic game that Ubisoft released in like 2000.
Okay.
Six. And it was a first person, like dungeon crawler, on the Source engine, and
okay,
it had the Source physics engine, so you could set traps and like. Put ice down on the floor and then like have someone chase you down a hallway and then they like Looney Tunes and do like a wall of spikes.
Oh, no way.
And like there was some cool stuff that I remember doing. You had a rope that you could shoot with a bow, and so there's like a kind of like a cave system level and there's like an orc chasing you, so I shot ice down and then I shot a bow or a rope up in the air with a bow and then jumped out over a chasm and like swung around and the guy like whoop slipped and like Wile E. Coyote into the abyss.
That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, you should get it. It's gotta be cheap.
Oh, I'm sure it's cheap. And Steam sale's coming up, you know, it's gonna be dangerous.
Is this gonna be your first Steam sale?
First one that I'll really pay attention to, yeah, for sure. Aside from, I think the last one is when I bought all the like Pinball FX3 tables because they were all like 70% off.
Got it. You can get Dark Messiah right now for $2.50. Yes.
On Steam? Oh, I'll take it.
Oh, do you know who made Dark Messiah?
No.
Arkane Studios. Yeah.
Oh, shit, really? Creators of the critically acclaimed Redfall.
creators of the critically acclaimed Dishonored, because... That makes so much sense because Dark Messiah feels like Diet Dishonored. You can buy the Arkane 20th Anniversary Bundle for $87.
I probably won't do that, but maybe it'll be $20.
Arx Fatalis, Dark Messiah, Dishonored, Dishonored 2, Dishonored Death of the Outsider, and Prey.
Prey is one I've thought about going back to as well. I loved Prey, like the mid-2000s one. Or what was it, like a 360 game?
No, Prey? No, this is like the Prey.
Yeah. I'm talking about the Bethesda.
No,
Prey,
this is the Arcane Prey. The one that reminded me of, what was that, Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
What was the name of the book that Edge of Tomorrow was based on?
All You Need Is Kill.
That was so good. That was so good. Did you read it?
You gave it to me because you didn't want to take it home at Comic-Con one year. Yeah. You were like, I'm just going to leave this in the hotel. Oh, so do you want it?
I do not remember that.
Yeah. Because it was like a manga, right? Yeah. 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 I have it on my shelf.
Was this before the movie came out? Yeah, I want it.
Do you want it back?
I didn't know I gave it to you.
Okay. Remind me, and I'll bring it.
Because I read the novel before I saw the movie, and it made the movie like 10 times better. Mm-hmm. We're getting off topic. Much like we do. Sea of Thieves, Monkey Island. Is that
that looked pretty.
Is that going to save Xbox?
That was no, but it'll be fun though. we can all board the sinking ship together.
Figuratively and literally.
The tone of Monkey Island does really fit the tone of Sea of Thieves, though. I think that's a, and I like didn't even think about when the Lucasfilm or LucasArts logo popped up. You know, I was like, are they doing like some sort of Star Wars ship thing?
Oh, no, I knew
or
instantly.
Like, I guess
instantly.
Indiana Jones. Oh yeah, I didn't even think about it. I was like, is this some sort of fucking Indiana Jones adventure or something? Because Indiana Jones is coming out. No, this is better than both of
fake
both
gamers
could be.
I've never played a Monkey Island game nor Sea of Thieves. Are the Monkey Island games like those have been around a long time?
Yeah, like,
very long time.
Okay, because I feel like I've been hearing about them my entire life.
They've been probably around your entire life. Them. Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Shane's looking at it.
Consulting the Book of Knowledge. Monkey Island 1 came out 1990.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That was a Sierra. No, Telltale. No, who published it? Oh, Lucas published it themselves. Huh? Why did I think it was a Sierra Online game?
It is funny though. In that, like obviously, it is very old, and it does have a lot of fans. But is this collaboration like big enough to bring many people into Sea of Thieves? You think? Like does the Monkey Island name have enough like power in it to get people interested in it?
That's my question. Like I know Monkey Island's been around forever, but like, is it really that big?
That's a good question. Like we know it because we're in the milieu.
I mean, it's also big enough that it's still around and that there's releases. You know, there's been a couple releases over the past number of years, right? Like. In whether it's a remake or a new game or what, like it's still here, so obviously it has staying power. But I guess is this collaboration because they fit so well together and because like do a lot of people that are into Monkey Island already play Sea of Thieves and this is like, you know, really for them, or is it meant to bring people in?
Did you know that Tim Schafer worked on the first game?
I don't know if I knew that.
What's he?
That makes
what's
sense.
That going on for? I know the name.
Like, oh, okay. Like the double fine guy, yeah. Costume Quest,
Or the Fig, crowdfunding platform. You guys remember that?
Mm.
Which was
we're gonna
crowdfund Psychonauts 2 on our own crowdfunding platform. Which see, like that's beyond double dipping. That's triple dipping.
It's double fine, right
double
there.
Dip. Yeah, baby.
Yeah,
dude. But
now we don't have to pay any of the Kickstarter.
Damn, he did a man. He did a lot of stuff. Damn, I thought he was kind of a piece of shit, but he's got some.
I thought he was some. Yeah,
I thought he was a piece of shit, but he's got some pedigree. Damn, like he helped develop the Scum Engine, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Maniac Mansion. Damn, Day of the Tentacle.
Sounds like
throttle.
You owe him an apology.
Grim Fandango, I knew that.
No wonder Microsoft bought them.
This guy isn't that bad.
There was also that game Jacent. I don't know how to say it. Jacent. But it looked like a Breath of the Wild climbing. Like they're like they just took the climbing out of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, they're just like, hey,
and I was like, this looks lame as fuck. Neat. But then I saw that it was Don't Nod, and so I'm instantly interested in that.
Yeah, I love that they were like, well, the climbing's cool. Make a game of that.
All I can
yeah. But like, put these cute little dudes all.
Oh yeah, my dad was walking by when that was on, and he's like, well, they gotta have a cute little creature like Baby Yoda. And I was like, damn.
Man, he should get into the game. Also, they're dead. They were like, do you think they got the feedback on the trailer? And then it was like, it's pretty good, but like, make the eyes more dead. Like,
I mean, Baby Yoda's got some dead eyes. All I could think of watching that was, do you remember that game Rock and Roll Climber?
No.
It was a Wii game. I don't even know if it came out, but it was at some E3 press conference. It was a Nintendo first party game. Look it up. Rock and Roll Climber. And you were like, you had the Wiimote and the nunchuck and you were like climbing up the side of a mountain. And then when you got to the top, you had to like air guitar. And that was the gimmick of the game. How can you guys not remember Rock and Roll Climber?
No. Yeah. It was a WiiWare game that was developed by a company called Vitel, but it was published by Nintendo. Came out in 2009.
Yeah. Rock and Roll Climber.
Interesting.
IGN said the game was a refreshingly creative idea and featured a cool use for the Wii Remote and Nunchuck, but it was also slow and plodding in pace, albeit intentionally slow.
Oh, you can use the balance board on it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Huh.
I do have to point out with this trailer, I like the little thing they did there at the end. Climb.
Yeah.
Fall 2023 or 2024, whatever. Like, I like that. That's cute.
Yeah.
I thought it was cute. Still Wakes the Deep, that
was like a short ass teaser, but I was like,
yeah,
like that I was yeah. in instantly.
That yeah. you're on an oil rig and there's something going on. What did it remind me of? The logo looks like the Evil Within logo. Yeah.
Oh, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thought. Man, the Black Series S just went up for pre-order in Canada. $450.
There's a $100 markup on that?
Damn.
It's no, there's a $100 difference
it's
in our exchange rate.
$100?
Oh.
$349 right now. We are actually getting a deal on it. $349 is $465.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why do you think I'm always so nervous about money when I go to Comic-Con? It's never a good time. And you forget because you just see that this is $10, but you forget that it's actually like $14. And then when you do that 100 times, you're broke.
Damn.
Really broke.
And your taxes suck. And your country's on fire.
There's a lot of stuff happening right now.
Somebody sent me in response to like the Canadian fires, someone sent me a giblet.
What the fuck is a giblet?
Someone tweeted, I did not know that the, quote, forest fires in Quebec are actually burning on monoculture tree plantations designed as carbon offsets so companies can greenwash their operations by purchasing carbon credits. Man.
We run in like, different circles.
You know, not to get too political or anything, but when this whole, like, cap and trade and carbon credit thing, like, started popping off, like, a decade and a half ago, I was like, if you're really about saving the environment, just cap. Don't do trade. Because what's the point? You're just using money to circumvent the regulations. So it only hurts poor or less rich corporations and individuals. Who would have thought Canada's on fire?
At some episode of Dynamic Resolution, you're going to have to allow me to rant about this sort of idea. Because it loosely ties to games. I won't go into it here, but I could
right.
rant about
make
that
a note.
Idea
make it. I'm going to make a note. I'm going to make a note right now for when we do the next show. So
that's the one. That's the one you're going to do it on. We're like approaching an hour now, and I'd love to
yes.
talk about a bit. But before we move to Starfield, like out of all of the games aside from Starfield, what excited you the most?
Ooh, Forza Motorsports.
It was a nice. I like that they didn't have any. They were like, there won't be any movie trailers or TV trailers or any of that shit. But they're like, here's a GM commercial.
Yeah, I was like, that one started, and I was like, oh, this is exactly how Gran Turismo 7 starts.
Which they're dropping the numbers from Forza, because this is Forza 8, right?
This is just, yeah, it's just called Forza Motorsport.
Okay, yeah,
it's a reboot.
When it showed the trailer, I literally said out loud, has there not been a Forza Motorsport?
Actually, I forgot that that they had a Microsoft Flight Sim portion.
Mm-hmm. That part looked really
cool. This is, like, they're calling it Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, which the original, the new one that came out was called 2020.
It was just in, like, 2020.
And so... there's got to, like, this is either like a paid expansion or, I mean,
he at the end of the show, he said an all new flight simulator. So I feel like it's a new release entirely. And it did look like graphically, like, obviously the 2021 is beautiful, but this looked improved on that even more. And the idea around, like, I don't know, being able to like have your career or whatever. And they didn't really show any of it, but you can like take on jobs and shit. Like, you know, like flight simulator was like, I downloaded it because I was like, this looks gorgeous. And I flew like once and I was like, cool, I'm ready to move on. Like, because it's just like without a goal, it's like hard for me to be interested in that. But the idea around...
And like you have like pilot progression and there's missions that you can do. And there's like...
But missions like this, these sounded like more interesting.
I mean, fair enough. I mean, they have like missions where you have to fly from here to here, land, pick up cargo, and then fly from here to there.
Like, that sounds boring as shit.
Yeah,
like, for me, like, I understand the appeal, but like, I don't think I could in real time sit through like a flight like that.
Are there like controllers for flight sim games?
Oh yeah,
that like replicate a plane?
Yeah.
Okay, because that sounds tight.
Yeah,
and
but it sounds
tight
in
VR. One of my close friends had like built a gaming PC for the 2021 and playing it in VR with the controllers is so cool and immersive.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. But yeah, it sounds cool in the same way that like Gran Turismo 7 with like a wheel and like in VR also sounds.
Yes. I'm going to send you the flight controls that I got my dad because they're pretty fucking dope. And they're not even like the most high end in the industry, but they're still really fucking cool. And that old man, I spent so much money on these things and he barely fucking plays it. And he was watching this trailer. He's like, oh man, I need to play that game. I'm like, yeah, you do.
It's like those controllers are like $200 an hour. It's
$700 on controllers that are gathering dust. And I'm like, I guess this is payback for all the shit that you bought me that I do like.
He's just been playing the long
I do
game.
Like that they have a Dune tie-in with the Ornithopter. That's cool because they have the Pelican from Halo in Flight Sim, and they have the Dark Star from Maverick, Top Gun Maverick, in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool about the Pelican is if when you go like cockpit mode, there's like an external like 3.5-inch floppy drive sitting on the dashboard, and you click on it and like a disc goes in and it starts playing Halo music. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
So I think Flight Sim was the peak for me, followed closely by Forza. The Overwatch 2 stuff was like dumb, but like I'm so done with Overwatch.
I was gonna ask,
they just canceled the single player stuff, right?
No, they the stuff that got quote unquote confirmed, there was a significant amount of stuff that got cut from when they initially announced it. Like the skill trees got kneecapped substantially, and like the playable characters that got confirmed was substantially less. So there's not a lot of content in the PvE story mode stuff. I don't know, man. Like, Overwatch is...
I just feel like everyone used to talk about Overwatch, and then it seems like it's died.
Yeah, it's a little... I don't know what to say. Like, it's, I mean, it's only good for the porn at this point. Cut that.
I'm not gonna cut that. Logan, what was your top game that wasn't Starfield?
I mean, to be honest, Starfield probably wasn't even my top game. Starfield looks incredible. It's just not my kind of game, and I know that. If I had to pick one though, I'd say that one Path of the Goddess game, that Capcom game. I don't think that's the whole name, because they said it at the end, and there was,
it's like Kanitsugami.
Yeah,
the goddess.
I didn't clean that from the title when it flashed. But that game looks really cool. When that was playing, I said, I wish this wasn't on a stream, because this game looks like it's probably beautiful, but it looks like shit right now.
This stream was like,
the 4K streams were pretty good.
I didn't put that much effort into it.
The two clicks that it takes to change your resolution.
In my experience, it normally doesn't seem to make a difference on my TV. I don't know if I just have a shitty 4K TV. I think I do. But yeah, that game, I think, was probably the one that I'm most interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I have a feeling that one I will be able to play too.
Mm, that's fair.
I've wanted to play Hellblade, because like the last Hellblade 2 trailer that played like last year, that looks really cool.
Yeah.
The Hellblade games look really cool. I don't know anything about them, but
that's the best way to go into it, I think.
Is Hellblade 1 on PlayStation?
Yeah.
Or is that okay?
No, it's on everything. It's short too. It's like 5 or 6 hours.
I need to check that out then. Because that Hellblade 2 trailer was also really cool. It gave me like vague Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver vibes.
Oh yeah, I
like
can see that.
Kind of like the beginning of the game, you're talking to like the Elder God. It kind of gave me that vibe, and that's one of my favorite games of all time. So, like, invoking anything from that, I'm interested.
When it came to Hellblade, I just remember I played the first one on Game Pass, and I love that they teamed with psychologists to accurately simulate schizophrenia, because the character has schizophrenia in the game, and you have to wear headphones because. Stereo headphones, because like the voices will be all around you, and depending on
the sound design is amazing.
On how well you're doing in the game, the voices will fuck with you. Like you could be,
damn, that's like the modern day equivalent to like Eternal Dark.
Yes. like they will change where they are. Like sometimes it'll feel like someone's right behind you, whispering in your ear. Other times they're just all around you. I remember. Explicitly, I was walking down like a path that was like a dead end, and they're like, turn around, he's right behind you. And I fucking panicked, and he did like a fast turn, there's nothing there. And they'll lie to you, like you'll be in a boss fight, and it's like, block now, he's attacking now. And like you block, but you know, nothing's happening, and then it sets you up to get hit. Really.
Yeah, that sounds badass. I'm definitely gonna check that out because
I didn't know it was that involved until I actually played it, and I really think they need to lean into that, because when the first one starts, it says we worked with all of these psychologists and psychiatrists to like accurately simulate mental illness, and I was like. Really? And then like the beginning part of that game made me physically sick with just all these like 20 something voices just like all yelling at me like, go back, what are you doing, you're gonna fail. I'm like, whoa. So yeah, let's move on to Starfield.
Logan, when you do check it out, I believe in the download as well, there's like a documentary that's included about the making of it, and you know, why they made some of the choices they made, and a lot of the people that they talked to in regards to making it as accurate as possible. That's worth watching too after you've played the game. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I'm definitely checking.
And anybody listening, you can check out Schizophrenia Simulators on YouTube. That's really uncomfortable.
I'm surprised nobody else mentioned it, but for me, I think the most intriguing one was the last game they showed off, which was called Clockwork Revolution.
Yeah, I have that one marked as one that I thought was really cool. I expected it to be some sort of like BioShock.
It looks.
I kind of got that vibe from it.
I got that vibe from it also. Yeah,
but it has that vibe.
And I don't know if I'm interested in it because it had that vibe or just because it looks different than a lot of the other stuff that we saw. And I don't know, the idea that there's like some time element where you have to change the past and it fucks with the future, like that sort of stuff, sounded really, really, really neat. So that, it looked just gorgeous. But it was really hard not to get like BioShock, especially Infinite, but BioShock vibes from it, I think.
Yeah. I had never heard of this studio before. They have some pedigree.
In Exile?
Wasteland 2, Wasteland 3. That's, Well, and with the Clockwork Revolution, when they were announcing, like, at the end of the trailer, they had, like, the actual, like, full title logo being built. And it just, like, it just started with Clock. And I was like, dude, how badass would it be a game called Clock? So, Starfield.
It's a missed opportunity.
It timed out on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then I don't know what I was expecting, because it was advertised as this, like, Xbox and Starfield showcase, and so I was like, oh, it'll end with Starfield. We'll get, like, a, you know, some five-minute walkthrough of, like, a planet or something like that. And then they showed it for almost like 45 minutes. And it was like, damn, like, is it like, obviously it seems like they're very confident in it if they're showing this much of it so long before release. And I think obviously they're aware at how much they need this game to be a big thing for them. And so that, like, that has to be another reason why as well, especially coming off the heels of, you know, the poor launch of Redfall. Like, they're like, you know, this isn't the only game we've got this year. Like, obviously Forza is in October, but, you know, this isn't the only thing we've got this year. This is going to be really big. And they really pushed it throughout in that, like, you know, it's on a scale like that Bethesda's never done before, and how long they've been working on it and all of this sort of stuff. And I thought it looked like, I don't know, for some of it, I was like, I could just play No Man's Sky. And then the rest of it was like, holy shit, this looks fucking fabulous. And the way the combat's been redone and everything like that.
Before we get too deep into this, though, I need to make sure we bring up that dog shit print on Phil Spencer's shirt. He came on screen, and that's all I saw was that, like, that mall fucking plastic print on. It was so bad.
Would you rather he not rep something like that?
I'd rather he just had a black shirt.
Yeah, it was. So if anybody didn't see it, at the very end, Phil Spencer came out not having a public meltdown, but he was wearing he had his t-shirt on, and it just said,
your guys' definition of meltdown is pretty wild.
It was a meltdown, but his shirt was just the box art for Hexen. And it looked like Logan said, like, you went to a mall kiosk, like, custom shirts made here. And it looked like it was printed on heat transfer vinyl. Like, it was square. Like,
and that's another thing that drives me crazy. I cannot stand square picture on shirt. Yeah. It always looks
like
bad.
Like, at least feather the edges. I had to think, like, it had to have been on purpose. Like,
it's probably a nod to the Activision deal.
Did Hexen make Activision?
Yeah, Hexen was published by Activision, I think.
But why Hexen? Of all the Activision games.
I don't know. And did they not think to do this before 35 minutes before the stream?
Yeah.
They literally sent some intern to the mall. They're like, we need the shirt right now.
It's not Activision. No, it's Ravensoft and id. Yeah.
Oh. I don't know.
All right, wait.
Maybe it's like, we got id in the end. We'll get you too. I don't know. I'm stretching.
Hey, man, it id what it id.
Oh, man. The only, this is off topic as well, and I want to talk about Starfield, but I was watching the BlackBerry movie that came out about the company's BlackBerry, obviously, and the only, like,
the X-Files.
Like, it seemed awesome. X-Files. That was a, That wasn't the X-Files, the game moment. The movie felt like perfect, and then like the thing that like totally broke me out of any immersion was one of the guys says something about, he's like, blah 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 ID software, and I was like, man, the guy who wrote this doesn't play games or something like that, like or it's just the actor, I guess, read it wrong and nobody caught him. But I hope that they dubbed that over for the whole video release, you know?
That like there was there's the, do you guys remember that movie Snow Dogs? Cuba Gooding Jr.
Like,
is a
with the sled.
He runs a dog team.
Dogs and stuff. Yeah,
is that one of those dogs where like, or one of the movies where the dogs?
I don't think they talk. I think it was just like a, like, I don't know, like a fucking Balto simulator or whatever. But that movie takes place in Alaska, and the movie fucking bombed up here because they mispronounced two like pretty significant towns in Alaska. Like, there's, granted, the town of Valdez is spelled Valdez, and if you're from Hollywood, you're gonna see Valdez and say Valdez, but that's just not that's not how it's pronounced up here. And also the town of Talkeetna, they said Talkeetna, and it was like, whoa, this was filmed in Canada for sure.
See, they should have dubbed it
same
over.
Same thing. Do you guys remember that movie, The Fourth Kind, with
that movie terrified
me because I was like, yo, when did Nome get mountains and trees and like river systems and like roads? That was filmed in Vancouver. Yes.
It was, yes. But a terrifying movie. I was like, whenever it came out, but I was like, is this real? Is part of this real? Is this based on a real story? I'm so scared.
Do you want to know the truth behind that movie? There are a lot of disappearances in Nome, but the problem is that people just get really, really, really drunk and then wander out. They wander out of the sea ice and just disappear.
Or that's what they want you to think.
There's no...
Trust no one. Question everything. The X-Files, the game.
In Nome. Nome is just like a bunch of houses out in the middle of a field.
The aliens bring
the trees in the mountains. Like,
I don't know, man. It was a dramatization, okay?
Like, also,
anyways, yeah, let's talk about Star
30 Days a Night.
Let's not. Great idea for a vampire series, yeah, though.
It's a good movie. It's a great movie.
It's a good comic.
Didn't
good
they go
comic
to space
book
at some point? Like 30 Days of Night in space?
I think that's
no, I gotta hold on. start on Starfield.
Logan, you said that, tell me about Starfield. Tell me what you thought about Starfield. Was this your first like exposure to it, really?
No, I remember watching last year's Starfield thing too. I think I might have had COVID at the time though, because I remember falling asleep during it, but it wasn't because it was boring. I was just like exhausted. But so like I've seen Starfield stuff before. It just doesn't really interest me. So it's like, it's hard for me to pay attention, especially when it's like a 45-minute showing.
It was very long. Does that like carry over for like, does Fallout and Skyrim and stuff not interest you either?
Fallout, I'm not really into it. Skyrim, I had like a few week period where I was super into it, but like I quickly lost interest too. I think it is just like, those extremely huge RPGs just like aren't my thing.
Yeah.
And I know like they show all this stuff and it's like, I feel like that meme where someone like types out like four paragraphs of something and it's like, oh man, I ain't gonna read that. I'm sorry that happened to you, or congratulations. And I feel like that. It's like they show all this stuff. There's all this stuff in the game. It's like, oh man, I ain't gonna play that. I'm sorry that happened to you, or congratulations.
I do feel what you're talking about, because it also does, like, I've always like struggled with open world games, except for a very specific few. And
yeah, it's like every now and then there's one that really hits, and it's like, this
totally
is awesome.
Like Spider-Man was a big one. Like,
yeah,
Spider-Man was the first game in my life where I collected all of the collectibles, because it was just so fun swinging around.
I did that on accident.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, there's a backpack, and always like the interesting like nostalgia pieces that you you get when you get the backpacks, like that blew me away. That was a blast.
Yeah, but it's like for an open world game to like hold my attention, like it needs to have something like that.
Yeah.
And
these games though, the stories are so good generally, and it's something, and I'm probably going to do it with this as well, because it's just been my history with Bethesda. But like Fallout 3, I remember when it like came out, I played like 10 hours of it and then I stopped, and then came back to it like a decade later and could not stop playing. And now it's like I would regard it as one of my favorite games. And like Skyrim, I've played like the first 10 or 15 hours of probably 10 times, and I've never gotten further than that. And Fallout 4 came out, I played it for like 10 hours, went back to it a few years later. I was like, this is fucking awesome. And
it's like I had periods where I was super into Skyrim and super into Fallout 4. And both the times were like a roommate and I were both playing it at the same time on our own consoles. And like, I remember at one point, the first house we had, our living room, we had set up two TVs in like opposite corners, and we were both playing Fallout 4 at the same
time. That's sick, yeah.
Just like hanging out, just playing our own games. And like, we'd occasionally look over and be like, how the fuck what are you doing?
Yeah.
And like, that's really cool. And these games are really good for that. It's just, there's so much that it's almost overwhelming.
It's
it makes.
Is that the legendary Fabian?
And
it is
legendary Fabian.
That is a Fallout 4. What did it for me was I was like, I'm going to start it again, but I'm going to ignore all of the settlement stuff, because that, like, I hated it and it pulled me out of it. Completely. And it was when I got an Xbox Series X, because as a non-PC gamer, I only had console versions, and every time you go in a building or anything and it's like fucking loading for 30 seconds or something, it was just painful. And being able to play it on the Series X was like, it was like 1 second type thing, so it like really changed the experience. But I feel like I'm worried about that happening as well, in that like all of the systems have so much depth to them that, and I don't know if I have that in me. Like talking about like building.
I know that I don't. Yeah. Lately in particular, I've really wanted to try playing Dragon Ball Z Kakarot again, but I remember starting it the first time and they explain the like RPG mechanics and my eyes just glaze over.
Yeah.
And that's a Dragon Ball Z game.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot handle it.
And the like idea of like, it's like you can like build your ship however you want it. And it's like, I just want the default. And like, you can build whenever I start one of these games that's like massive and open world and whatever, I'm like, I'm going to play it for probably 10 hours. And like, my goal is to play the whole thing, but I know I'm going to lose interest at some point. And if I have 10 hours in me, I need to spend as little time on the character creator as I possibly can. So, you know, I'll grab the default. Maybe I'll change the hair color. That's it. I'll move on. Like, because the clock is fucking ticking, and they're like, you could spend 40 hours just in the character creator. I was like, please.
That's how I was in Cyberpunk. I got that game and like I spent so long customizing a character and like trying to like find all this cool shit, and then like the game was just too much. I was like, oh man.
And then like they're showing off like you can build a base on any of the planets that you find, and I'm like, can I choose not to please? Because like the gunplay looks fabulous. The customization of the guns and shit looks awesome.
Dude, the gunplay looks weak.
For a Bethesda game?
Right.
Yeah, for a Bethesda game, it looks great.
Like, it looks vastly improved what we've seen. No, but it looks vastly improved from what we've seen previously.
All right, I'll straight up concede on that, but the gun... that's a bad mark of quality. Like, yeah, I mean, it's good for a Bethesda game.
I think it's fair, because that's not what Bethesda games are.
No, it's like an RPG. Like it's an RPG with shooter elements, whereas Destiny's a shooter with RPG elements. Like, and it does the RPG pieces poorly compared to a Bethesda game. Like, Bethesda games do the shooting aspects poorly compared to like Destiny or something similar.
There is no...
Does that make sense?
Play Escape from Tarkov.
I was going to talk to you about that, but not on the show, because
that's not on the other show.
Right,
I'll make a note.
I thought the world, like the planets, all looked vastly different, and the way, you know, they talked about how much went into like the lighting systems and stuff, and how they've redone all of that. Like, it looks very pretty, which, you know, a lot of Bethesda games like don't.
Like,
yeah.
And a lot of them are older, and they
install a bunch of like mods and shit to make
yes,
it look
yeah,
great.
Yeah. And if this is just how it looks out of the box, like, it looks really, really good. And please have a 60 frames per second mode at launch. Like, please have learned your lesson, Microsoft, with Redfall, because I need to play this.
I mean, I feel like Redfall had other problems.
Redfall did have other problems. It had poor RPG and shooting elements.
Yes, like I saw all of that Starfield stuff, and I thought, like, this is definitely going to be someone's favorite game of all time.
Yes,
like
yeah.
It's just not going to be mine.
Yeah. I also thought it was a little disingenuous. With, like 25 years in the making. I'm like, no.
if that was an idea back then, or they started planning it out back then, sure it is. If I like put a nail in a board today, and then in 10 years I've built a house, like I've been building this for 10 years.
No, like, that's fucking stupid.
Regardless, that they went into full development after Fallout 4, so it's been 8 years now, I guess.
25 is still quite an exaggeration. That's quite a rounding error.
Even things like the ship combat and stuff I thought looked really neat, which is not something that I think I would care about usually, but it looked, I don't know. All of the systems looked really fun, I think, which I'm down for. And even the like weird little things like the grandma like invites you over for dinner, like, I don't know. I don't know if that was random, or if that was something that is like a scripted event. But I always, you know, from Fallout 3 to 76 and everything in between, like these like little random pieces and the environmental storytelling in these games of, you know, just like shit, like you fucking find a church full of skeletons and like you find out that it's like some cult leader like made them all kill them, like shit like that you just like stumble across in these games is some of my favorite stuff. That like mm-hmm. and some of my most memorable moments in them. And it sounds like, even though, you know, they've got this vast galaxy and like the planets, a lot of the elements of them are procedurally generated, like it sounds like a lot of this stuff is still in there. And so I can't wait to like explore, which is something I don't usually like in a game like this. Being an open world game, I will like pretty well try to like mainline the quests and like maybe, you know, usually get distracted by like a side quest here and there. Here I feel like I'm actually looking forward to exploring.
Have you been on
Sorry,
go ahead, finish.
I was just gonna say, and it made me want to buy play No Man's Sky.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it watching it reminds me of how cool I thought No Man's Sky looked, and then I played No Man's Sky and it was so disappointing.
Did you play it at launch though?
Not at launch, but like a couple years later, before it was like great though.
Yeah,
it's like I remember playing it back before, like when I like said on Twitter or something, I wanted No Man's Sky. Multiple people were like, I don't know if you do, and it's like I just like think of that, like, oh yeah, travel to other planets and you get there. And
there's a great documentary on I think it was the guy, like the lead dev from. What was it Play Money Games or Hello Games?
Hello Games.
Playground Games. Hello Games. Playground. Yeah, Playground.
No, Forza. Who's the No Man's Sky guy? Hello Games.
Yeah, Hello
Play
Games.
Money Games.
Sean.
He has a keynote talk at Game Developers Conference, he basically explains like what happened, and it was a. Basically explaining like there was just all the things that that like went wrong, and then when they released it, it was really, I don't want to like spoil it, but it's very, very interesting about like how they took player feedback and used it with like data they were analyzing from the game. To say like, all right, people really, really want this, but our player data feedback shows that nobody's actually doing that. So we need to ignore that because we would be developing a feature that no one's going to use because of like, it was really fascinating. I was going to forget what I was going to say. Disregard. Keep going.
I don't know. I was stoked for Starfield, like from, you know, the time it was announced and seeing these, you know, bits and pieces of it over the past few years. But like, I don't know. We just got such a good look at it today and it looks fabulous, I think. And, you know, I'm really excited to play 10 hours of it. I hope it's more, but those 10 hours are going to be fucking great. It was one of those things, like, I was like, shit, that like September 6th is the release date, which I think we already knew. I don't think that's new reveal today, but I was like, shit, that's like the first week of school. So I'm going to be so busy. At least I'll have that weekend. But then it's like, there's like a friend's wedding that weekend. So I'm going to be out of town. So I'm like, fuck. But they had a solution, and that was by the collector's edition, which has 5 days early access. So then you can play it all Labor Day weekend.
Perfect. Have you been on your Xbox since the conference?
No, I watched it on TV.
Like
since the conference that we that we then came to podcast
correct,
immediately
correct.
After. No, I've not been on Xbox.
I loaded up Xbox on my PC, and you can preload Starfield right now. Like,
damn.
All the games that they had at the conference, you can preload right now.
I mean, those are just going to be tiny like pieces of what they'll end up as.
Let's pre-install Starfield. Let's see.
Data mine
requires 125 gigs on disk.
That's why they released the new Series S.
Yeah. but I just took a screenshot. The Payday 3 store page is broken because it's all in, it's all in Arabic.
Hell yeah.
So
it's part of the ARG. You gotta break into the game.
You gotta break into Pashto, which is that joke doesn't make sense.
One question that popped up that I wonder what will be the answer to is, like, they showed your ability to like take down everyone in a ship and steal that ship, and now it's like part of your fleet and you can select it when you go to any like spaceport. Like, why do I need more than one ship? What's the difference? I guess like this is a cargo ship, so you can hold more cargo on ship, but how much cargo are you really going to have most of the time, I guess? And like, this one's smaller, and so it's faster and better for fighting. But like, I don't know, like, is there going to be enough of a differentiation between what the ships look like or can do that you'll actually feel like changing them out depending on what you're going to do at any given time? Like, or is that just another fucking settlement waste?
Well, they did say that you could design it like that. The one chick said, I made a platypus. I made a platypus looking spaceship. And like, sure, some other people's made like Gundams.
Oh, yeah.
There has to be, but I am so nervous because
I love the style of everything too. Like the ships and like the guns and shit, like everything looked.
I'm so nervous because all the clips of talking to NPCs had that, like, I don't know what engine it's on, but it had the Bethesda, like Oblivion, like NPC talking, like it looks like the skeleton of an Oblivion system, and that that worried me because that engine is fucking.
I do believe it's a new engine, but I'm sure there's different. I'm sure there's pieces of their old systems within there.
Also, they brought the Adoring Fan back.
Yeah, you were going off on the messaging about that, but I don't know.
That's an Oblivion character. He's your biggest fan and he like follows you around and is super fucking annoying. I never ran into him when I played Oblivion, but that's a fucking Oblivion character. I lost my shit when I saw that.
I do feel like that's something I'm looking forward to too, is how many like nods and Easter eggs to other, you know, pieces of Elder Scrolls and pieces of Fallout and stuff are going to be hidden within the game. Like, it feels like there has to be tons of that stuff, and there usually is in their games. The one thing I wanted from this show, this is going back to the main Xbox piece though, when they started showing off the like Fallout 76 stuff, it was, I thought we were gonna finally get like a Series X update, because I'm so interested in playing more of that game, and I tried to maybe a year ago, but it's so bad looking. Like, you either are playing it in, I think it can do 4K in 30 frames per second, so then it's janky and clippy as fuck, or you can play it in 60 frames per second, but then it goes down to like what the regular Xbox One would play it at. So I think it's like 800p or something like that, and just like muddy as hell. Like it needs, and the content they've released over the past few years and the expansions look so interesting and good, but like the game is awful to look at. And
I could have sworn they
likewise. I was like,
no, it, yeah, once the like the Settlers expansion came out, which I think was a year after launch, like it got pretty popular and it's got like a pretty big and positive community from what I've heard. Like everyone's always like helping each other and shit.
Here's like a peek into the fandom of 76. Do you guys remember the bedbug PC incident? Like I had a friend, I had a friend I had an associate that was going to jail and wanted me to hang on to his stuff, but like there's bed bugs on him. 76 is like one of his favorite games of all time.
I mean, I don't think that is telling of the person.
It's telling of the game and Bethesda as a whole. You attract. They also showed off Elder Scrolls Online, which I thought died too.
Oh no, that's hugely popular. I went to like an event in Seattle for that, like real years ago.
What are we doing with our life?
Also, Elder Scrolls Online is fun as shit. Like it's on Game Pass if you haven't played it, Shane, for PC. And it's like I probably played 30 hours of it, and it's a bit overwhelming because there's so many expansions and there's so much content that you're like, what should I do? And that's my problem with a lot of these open world games. But it's really fun actually.
See, I remember I got my PS4 when Elder Scrolls Online was like first going, and was it free originally?
No.
Or did I buy that?
You must have bought it at some point.
I must have bought it.
Because at first it was you bought it and you had to buy time, and then after a year or two there was like they revamped it and it was just you bought the game or the expansion, but there was no fee to play it.
I must have got it after they dropped the fee then. But I remember, like, I had never been super into an Elder Scrolls game, but it must have been on sale or something. Mm. And I got it, and I tried it out, and I was like, this is cool, but, like, I would be, like, fighting some, like, mini-boss thing and die, and then just I could go back and continue. It's like, the health wouldn't regenerate, so it's like, I could just keep spawning and going back. And I was like, this kind of sucks. This kind of defeats the purpose of the game.
I played the beta for that. Yeah.
For Elder Scrolls Online. I remember the beta
was
looking
terrible.
So awful.
And like it was me and my buddy, what was his name? Wade. We were playing it and like crawling around like ice caves. I'm like, dude, this game's going to suck. It reminded me of a bad Lord of the Rings Online, which is still going too. Can you believe that?
That Lord of the Rings Online is still going? I didn't know that.
I'm nervous for Starfield. I'm very nervous.
What are you nervous
Bethesda's,
for?
Bethesda's track record.
Like it's of releasing great games that are janky as fuck. I mean, that's for sure that's what it's going to be. Like, like there's no doubt. Although it didn't look that janky from what we saw today. The cherry-picked bits and pieces. Although I think I did see one guy, there was a clip, and I think one guy was like, it was like in a lab or something, and one guy was walking, and it looked like he was like moonwalking because his legs like weren't matching. And I was
there it
like,
is. There it is. Even in the demos. But I just want the watch. Todd, give me the watch.
The watch is right. You just have to hit that buy button.
I don't want
to
spend the $300 on the watch right now. I want to put some money down and then just sell my watch, pre-order, and then keep the watch. I mean, it was a cool-looking watch, but it's... I mean, but
it is a cool-looking watch. The controller is really nice-looking, too, actually.
I love the aesthetic of Starfield, that it's the, like, 1970s, like, pulp, like
future.
That Pulp Fiction, like, Last Starfighter, or, I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Starman, Flight of the Navigator. It's that like 1970s in space vibe. It put me in a particular place. When they were showing all the set pieces, all I could think of was like the bases you can go to or like the civilizations. All I could think of was like, I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store in the Citadel. That's all I could think of, like with them showing the various citadels you can go to.
That's pretty funny.
But
so I was just trying to look if it was in fact Play Anywhere. It looks like it is. So that Xbox code would give you your PC version as well.
I just want the watch.
Yeah, so buy it, and I told you I'd give you $50.
Wait, $50? Do you know how much a game costs?
Yeah, that's
$70.
Like 60. Yeah, but yeah, you're getting
so
the watch.
You can pay me $60. How about that?
I feel like $60.
Haggling live on the podcast.
I'd do $60. $60 right. US dollars. Yeah, show me the receipt.
Up front. You need to pre-order $5 up front.
I need to pre-order it for
you. Pre-order the pre-order.
You pre-order it for me, and then I'll send you the difference for the watch. Is there anything else you guys want to say about this show?
I don't think Xbox is dead, but they're on life support.
See, I was having that conversation with someone the other day, and how they're not dead or on life support. Like, they've sold fucking 20 million consoles this generation so far, which there were shortages of throughout. Add another 10 million onto that, and that's where PlayStation's at. But PlayStation also like blew them out of the water last generation. Like, Xbox and Game Pass are making money. Like, what does dying or being on life support look like to you?
Right, the state of Xbox right now.
Like, as a player? Because it looks like, we've been saying it for like 3 or 4 years now, but next year is going to be a great year for Xbox.
There is no incentive for me to buy an Xbox.
But you were never going to buy an Xbox as a PC player.
But that's
player.
The thing. Like, I feel like they... I don't... Like, I'm happy that I can play Xbox games on my PC, there's...
Who are they trying to sell Xboxes to then if they're not trying to sell Xboxes to the PC players or the PlayStation players?
I don't know that they're... are they trying to sell Xboxes or are they just trying to sell Game Pass
subscriptions? I think long-term, they're not. I think long-term, they're trying to be like a software as a service.
Yeah, and they've iterated, including in this show, but they've been saying for years, like, wherever you choose to play, whether it's in the cloud, whether it's on your PC, whether it's on your Xbox, like, they're being very, forward in that, like, just play where you want. Mm-hmm. And obviously selling consoles is good, but selling subscriptions is better because people will
have
those forever.
Wasn't there a rumor that you were going to be able to get Xbox streaming on the Switch?
I feel like there was, but I think it was just shot down.
I want to say I've heard that there was like in some sort of like court something, like when documents came out, there was evidence of like talks of getting Game Pass on PlayStation. It's just that Sony doesn't want to play ball.
Right.
And so, like, I do think that's their long-term goal, is they want Game Pass on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see PlayStation allowing that, as, like, PlayStation allows, like...
Now you can play Starfield.
Of Game Pass, where you pay for Game Pass, but it only has Microsoft first-party stuff.
Like, nothing that's also available on PlayStation?
Yeah, because then they wouldn't be selling games.
I think, like Derek said on the Dynamic Resolution show a while ago, about Nintendo should just be a developer and go the way of Sega. I think Xbox needs to do that. Go the way of Sega.
Maybe everyone should do that, and then we can just get
two PC master race. Let's do it. Analytics.
You know, I like
state of PC releases doesn't like, seem to be boding well, though.
What's that?
The state of PC releases doesn't seem to be boding well, though.
Yeah, yeah, especially that last Sony one on the last
or most games,
most big games. The God of War 1 and Horizon was supposed to be
like,
good ones.
But I mean, like Jedi Survivor, Dead Space. Mm,
yes. Oh, yes.
I think Callisto also had issues.
Like, all of those big games. Yes.
Yeah. Every big game, like not just like the big first parties, but like every AAA game seems to have horrible.
That's true. That's true. Maybe let's not do that. Although, like on my Steam Deck, I installed Windows on it the other day, and then I was like, I don't want to fucking see that I'm using Windows though. So I like it boots right into basically a front end. that just shows the Game Pass games I've had that I have installed. And so from boot to shutting the system down, I never have to see Windows. And if it's great. Just feels like a console.
At that point, why don't you just get one of those like Asus ROG like game pads? Why'd you get a Steam Deck if you're going to be running Windows?
I mean, I like the idea of the Linux stuff and using the Steam side, but there's like, I feel it would feel stupid. Like there was a game I wanted to play that's on Game Pass or it's like $30 on Steam. Like it would feel stupid to, or I could just play it on my Xbox. Let's not talk about that. I wanted to set things up, you know? But so, yeah, so to be able to have the best of both worlds there, like most of my stuff is going to be on the Steam side, but to just be able to boot in and play whatever on Game Pass as well, feels pretty good. And to have it so simple that, like, you know, someone that hasn't touched a PC in years, like Michaela, could just turn the thing on and start playing sort of thing without having to open any other apps or anything like that. Like, it just really simplified the experience and made it feel more like it does on the Steam Deck side, I guess, in that. It's just,
I mean, I guess
library.
If you don't have like a Windows gaming PC, I get it.
Yeah, which I at this point, I don't think that I would. I don't know. It's more intriguing, but I haven't thought about it enough to, I don't know. They just seem like I like the Steam Deck in that it's compact and small and can just sit on a dock that's connected to my TV and then I can play shit on the TV. Like it feels like a Switch, really.
But we're getting too lost in the weeds on PC gaming. We can talk about that on another show.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else about this show, you guys?
Hype for Flight Sim, hype for Forza, hype for Starfield. I want my watch. I want my goddamn watch, Howard. Todd.
But not enough to actually order it. as it's in front of you right now. Yeah, this has been another episode of the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. Another episode of the semi-annual Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. Shane O'Hare himself will be chatting about Squanch Games.
High on
Life.
What's
it called? Shane, what's it called? High on Life with me at some point in the near future.
Fucking, I'm looking at the Insta.
It's his fault, not my fault. See, he's telling you
February,
right now.
Dog.
On air. But I've been waiting for you to say what year. I'm ready.
Didn't say what year.
But yeah, we'll be back soon with another episode. And if you have not heard us chat enough about the Xbox and Starfield show today, search for Dynamic Resolution wherever you get your podcasts. And yeah, every 2 weeks there we have a show about games and what we've been playing and you know, Steam Decks and Linux and random shit and but mostly
serial conspiracy theories.
Yeah, we'll have right. We'll have a breakdown of the rest of the stuff that we saw.
Yeah, if you want to check out the Summer Games Fest, Indies Game Fest, Devolver Digital. I think Logan saw a couple other ones from last week. We're going to be doing a little bit more potpourri as opposed to just the Xbox stuff. So check out Logan from Memory Card, MMRY.CRD.
Yeah. Yeah, I make some cool... I kind of run the Instagram... trying to design it as if it's a physical zine in the modern era. So I try to design things to just be a really cool kind of reading, viewing experience for neat gaming stuff.
Yeah, and he makes game cases.
I make cassette tapes of games.
Yeah, he showed us his Street Fighter VI game case that he's making. I think that's looking pretty... That's going to be a good release. If you're into Street Fighter VI, check him out. You going to make Xbox game cases?
I've had people ask that before, and I'm not opposed to the idea. It's just the idea behind my game case, for anyone not familiar, I make like PS1 versions of modern game cases, so like jewel cases, and nothing like that really existed for Xbox. Like all original Xbox games just came in green DVD cases, so it's like how different is that really, you know? Like an Xbox Series X game designed like an Xbox game, it just kind of changes the banner at the top.
Fair enough.
And that's it. So it's like, I don't really know what I would do creatively with it. Since they never came in like jewel cases, I don't know what I would really do.
We'll have to think it.
You should make one for Sneak King, and you can start there.
I have a cassette tape of that soundtrack.
Shit, really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well... that's the show. Yeah, look for dynamic resolution, and we'll see you back soon. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.